have come into this discovery rather than it being like in your mind, I'm going to sound like a duck.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's more of like, it's more of like trying to come at it from like an emotional perspective, like where, how does this fit in perceptionally? Like how do we perceive this thing and then translate that into sound? I hope that answers your question.
That totally does. Okay. And I'm so appreciative of your time. Thank you for coming in. Yeah,
thank you for having me. This is awesome.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Your first radio performance.
Right? Yes.
Yay.
Yes. Awesome.
Well, we're thankful for you being here. And this is Becky signing off from the Union of Time Thieves and our exploration of creative space making coming up. We have Sudden Radio Project. You're listening to KBOO Portland.
Hello? That's right. It's 11, straight up. Here we go. This is a November show from November 2003.
Hey, Todd, you remember when we used to have a disclaimer?
Good evening, and welcome to the Sudden Radio Project. Buckle your seatbelts, everyone, and here we go.
There's a sound well known to cats and kids. The whir and grind of the can opener. The little can. The tuna fish. Packed in water or oil, chunk or light or flaked or white. Tuna fish. With mayo and some sweet relish, it becomes lunch for kids and grown-ups on a diet or a budget. 89 cents. Simple, humble food. Nothing to get excited about unless you're a cat. America today is still a land of endless wealth and a surplus of everything that's needed for life. True, not all Americans can afford everything, but at least it's all there. The stores are full of groceries, the hospitals full of medicine, the very dumpsters overflow with furniture and clothing, faultless except for the sin of being out of date. Looked at too long. I myself haven't had to buy chairs for years. Everyone seems to have an extra. But we are prisoners of our ignorant convenience. Because we know not where things come from, we are like Maria Antoinette. Perhaps she did not mean anything ill by her reviled statement, "Let them eat cake." The ignorant princess believed that if all the bread was gone, you just reach into another side of the cupboard and get out the cake. You can just run down to the store tomorrow and get more bread. In our own modern parlance, well, you know the thing about those homeless is they like living that way. It's 3 feet long and weighs in from 8 to 30 pounds, most in the range of 10 to 15 pounds this season. It's glistening silver, marked with blue-black racing stripes and a slash of electric ultraviolet, eyes bigger than silver dollars, black hole black. It is shaped like a missile, pointed and utterly fast, just lying there. The albacore is a stunning example of perfect functional form. These fish race by at 45 to 60 miles an hour in the water like birds passing pedestrians. They spend their lives in wide open spaces near the top of the food chain, eating endlessly from the all-you-can-eat Pacific. They are predators of the highest caliber, taking only live food on the fly. Their drive sends them hurtling out of the water, scores of them breaking the surface like upward hail. But it does not just lie there. It does not go gentle into that good night. It is a muscular thunderbolt, flexing faster than the eye can follow, beating out like Gene Krupa on steroid coffee. We will draw a curtain over what comes next. Be assured it's merciful and quick. Remember instead that blue and silver thunderbolt, a falcon of the sea.
Well, now.
Ooh, who's that?
Well, hello there.
New here? Ooh, fresh meat.
You haven't been here before. I would have noticed you.
Thank God. So finished with all these boars.
Great color on you.
Come on, love. Look over here. Let's see those eyes. Who the... Get out of my way. Now look.
Maybe we should saunter out to the pool. How did all these people get in this room? Sardine City.
Fuck. Just what I need. Martini all over me. Fucking idiot. Where are you? Oh, there you are. What are you doing? Who the hell is that?
Excuse me while I talk to this idiot for 2 minutes. Oh, yeah, really? Oh, I so don't give a shit. I think your master is calling you. Jump, Fido. Yeah, you too. Great breath. Jesus.
Oh, I didn't know you were here. What a drag. Why was I stupid enough to meet these people in the first place? Well, Angelo's nice. Where is he? Oh, shit. Trapped in the corner with that fucking sow. Anytime you're ready to leave, kid. Just give me the high sign. Drop me at a dark, filthy bar before you go off whoring for the night.
Oh, really? Stick it up your ass with a fucking meat hook. How very uninteresting. What the fuck is that? Peanut butter on the floor? God, I may never be able to cross the room and get to her. Well, yes, me too. Oh, yes, of course. I'll promise that. I can lie as well as you. Yeah, later, man. Drop dead. Where is she? Oh, there. Still in the room.
Okay. If I could only cut off all the heads, I'd be able to see just... Oh, there you are. Haven't moved a muscle, huh? Stuck with Pemberley. How sad. He's being summoned by his wife. Make your escape. Woo, good job.
Oh my god. I thought he'd never shut that fucking yap hole. It's like a rusty razor blade being dragged on a pitted chalkboard. Guess they don't use chalkboards anymore. Dry erase, I guess. Where is she? Oh shit, what the fuck? Did you leave? Did you drop to your knees and crawl out of this mess?
I see you looking. Don't be so obtuse. That's no way to get acquainted. Cold, cold, well, cooler. Warm. Warm. Warmer. Got me. Oh shit, too far. Got to get your radar fixed. Oh, okay there. You do have eyes. Dark. Color. Color? Get your fucking head out of the way, Travis.
Is that... What? Oh, good. There you are. Still here. Good. Stuck with all these pinheads just like me. We're closer now, though. If I could just scoot through that little shit... Yeah, good to see you too. Who dyed your hair? Jesus. Aren't you a little old for that type of thing? Oh, yeah, sure. Oh, yeah, sure, I'll do that. When goats sing Puccini, now get out of my way.
Damn, you got stuck again. Guess I may have to save you. Don't move fast enough. If Suzanne can snag you, it means you have to work on your party dodge to the left move. She's like a trolling catfish. Just tell her to fuck off. Oh, that's good. pointing to the drink. I like that. No one thinks it's rude when you have to fill your drink.
Escape number two. Are you still here? Yeah, I think... Oh, good. Closer, closer. How is it you never get gored by one of those social bulls? If I can just squeeze through these corporate... past the... Oh, what is her name? Oh, my God. You're not supposed to be dipped in that shit. Oh, what a stench. Move around his waving arms and the beer bottle.
Move, you asshole. There. People have no sense of peripheral vision. Guess I should have poked him in the... just past these two adulterers and through the vortex of football fucking jocks. I can just turn my toe
around these two and pass. Ooh, something flew out of his beard. Okay, now moving into the group of actor snobs, I can just stay back from my drink. It's all so close.
Over the next hill, nearly.
One more asshole to go, and
behind the anorexic, over the drop muffin, and
hello.
Hello.
Wanna dance?
But I understood all the things that you told.
Being a fisherman has never been much of a steady job. Even in the good old days, there were always times of market glut or other conditions that might limit your working year. But a good family living could indeed be had in fishing. To get well off, you needed to have your own boat to start, and that was very often beyond reach. Many small boat owners just barely got by. Today the realities are harsh. There are many, many skilled and experienced watermen looking boat to boat for jobs. Traditionally, the fisherman's financial outlook is risky. He signs on a boat or a cruise for share of the catch. Off the top of any fish harvest comes food and fuel. The crew and captain don't get paid till afterwards. A typical experienced crewman gets 10%, a greenhorn gets 5%, and more experienced hands with extra duties get larger shares. The captain often gets 50%, or that 50 minus what he pays for his crew. A crewman is expected to work on the boat in port before a trip. He works as long and as hard as necessary to get the boat ready to get fish. He is not usually getting paid anything and is pleased if the boat feeds him during this time. The understanding is a share, and you're investing your time in the venture, as is everyone else, owner on down. In some fisheries, you can expect 130-hour work weeks or more, some days being work, punctuated with 3-hour naps for weeks on end. But jobs are hard now. Smaller shares are being offered, smaller still in the larger, more crew, industrial boats. Will you take 7.5 if the boat buys all the food and fuel? Often, though, the traditional fees are still taken out, worker exploitation also being an old tradition in the sea. In this ultra-competitive market, crews from the third world are willing to sign on for 2-4%, or even a flat fee of $200 to $350 per month. It is, for the most part, far, far safer to be a fisherman than ever before. Weather data, GPS, emergency transponders, auto-deploy lifeboats, survival suits, better boat design, all play a role in making a seaman's life much safer than even 30 years ago. But boats still go down. Some men are plucked from the sea, but others still are lost. It does not make the news when a fishing boat disappears with all hands. A moment, perhaps, on a local news program, a small town paper will note it. but most of us never hear about the lost men in boats and do not think of them as we go to the crab buffet at Red Lobster.
Here we are, on Burnside and Grand Avenue in Portland, Oregon, in front of the Mexican place that's not open anymore. Cars are speeding past, people are around. It's about 6 p.m. Drizzling. Barely. Maybe it's not actually... There's some people across the street. Man and a woman. He's got a big beer belly, tight jeans. She's got some hair. They're from Molalla, and looking at used cars. They went to get a BLT at the diner.
So, honey, what do you think about the car?
Honey, I don't give a fuck. Get whatever car you want.
As long as it's black and runs smooth, that's all I care about.
Yeah, I wish I had something black and smooth right about now. Your car ain't worth shit. You don't know how to drive.
Shut up, bitch.
You shut the fuck up.
If you ever did.
If I ever did, then what? What? What are you gonna do about it?
You smarter than to try it.
Well, it turns out she wasn't the dumb one. Because she did try it, and he never had a clue. She had a man who lived in the African-American part of town, the old Albina area, where there actually were a lot of African-American people. African-American people walked around the neighborhood, shopped in stores, ate food, talked to friends, chilled on the porch, and generally lived their lives. And so did her man on the side, who, when he wasn't hanging out with that white girl, was playing PlayStation and GameCube with his boys. Today, he's waiting for the bus, and he hears a couple white guys talking. They have black winter hats on.
It's crazy. I mean, I've never lived somewhere so dangerous. But at the same time, it's like we're not really at risk. They're just shooting at each other.
Yeah, I used to live in Southeast. It was different there. Real relaxed, you know, like real chilled out. You know. I remember hot summer days, like 2 p.m. on a Tuesday.
Whoosh! Flashback.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
Some beers?
Hey, we already got some.
Cool.
Isn't unemployment great?
Yeah, food stamps, baby.
Hey, you heard about that dumpster diving class?
For real?
Yeah, I think I'm gonna check it out.
Whoosh! Flashback.
They both checked it out. Later, at class.
And that's why bread will be a staple of your diet when the well runs low. And anything canned will be handy when times are tough.
I love bread. This is gonna be great. I'm throwing away my Safeway card. It's gonna be hard to stay away. It's so close by in the neighborhood.
All my troubles seem so far away. Now it looks as though they're here to stay. Oh, I believe in yesterday.
Was it Thomas? I think it was Thomas.
It wasn't Thomas.
You're sure?
I would have remembered if it was Thomas.
Why, if it was Thomas?
Because of Thomas Wolfe.
Oh. Which one?
Huh?
Which Thomas Wolfe?
I didn't know there was more than one.
Of course.
Mom? Mom?
What?
It's me.
Given the current situation, I think it's safe to say your mother no longer remembers who you are.
At all.
Correct.
How is that? I mean, how is it she doesn't remember me at all?
Well, it's to do with the disease.
I'm her son, though.
Yes, I'm aware of that.
How do you forget your son?
Michael!
Huh?
Would it be Michael?
No, I don't think so.
Tell me, is it her you're worried about, or yourself?
Listen to this. Tell me if it reminds you of anything.
Okay.
Smoke pulled like ribbons from the window of the car.
No.
No what?
No, that reminds me of nothing.
Nothing?
Kick me.
Nothing.
What? Kick me? Why? To see what it'd be like.
Don't you know what it's like to get kicked?
Haven't a clue.
Why would you want to know what that's like?
I don't know. It just seems like something I should probably know. You know, for say, experience. Preparation.
Preparation?
Sure.
Preparation for what?
Being kicked.
Put it on the books so I'll never forget it.
Nothing.
Okay, go. Ow! Shit! This fucking smarts!
Sorry.
Run, 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 run to me.
Wait, I've heard that one, I think.
Oh, who sang it?
A bunch of people. It was a popular one.
Yeah?
Yeah, like on the radio.
Can I kiss you?
What?
Kiss you. Can I kiss you?
No.
Please?
Why would you want to kiss me?
Can I kiss you?
No.
Did we ever dance to it?
I don't remember.
Should I sing it again?
No. It'll just make me sad.
Why should it make you sad?
Same reason you had me kick you.
That wouldn't be a good memory.
It could be.
Trust me, it wouldn't.
All I'm saying is there's a chance.
Not in the least.
How do you know?
Because it'd be traumatizing.
And kicking you wasn't?
Run, run, run.
I said don't.
Sorry.
Love me.
No.
I don't know if I can anymore.
I said don't.
Mom, look at me.
I think it would be wise of you to let go of that idea.
Do you recognize it?
I already told you I did.
Don't you love me?
Of course I do. You know I do.
Then why don't you show it?
Remember I was dating this one girl when I was in high school?
We used to keep track of all the times we made love.
Touch me.
She was younger than me.
Keep count.
Kiss me.
She was a sophomore, I think.
Harder.
And I was a senior.
I put a little entry in my diary about each time.
Harder, Simon.
Anyway, we never slept together.
Some little new one?
Break me.
I don't think I was quite up for that.
Something one of us said.
I can't.
Not with her, that is.
Or did.
Please?
But she did give me head.
Just something special.
I don't think we should do this.
Took me a while to work her up to it.
Something that would make it stick out.
Not anymore.
But she did do it.
I thought maybe if we could somehow chronicle it all.
Not as things are.
I remember lying on my back.
Each time.
Hands behind my head.
Time's in the car.
I'll die.
There on her bed.
I swear I will.
At the beach.
In her little room with all its pink, frilly, girly stuff lying around.
A cornfield in Kansas.
Her little mouth around my cock.
His parents' bed?
We need to stop.
Thinking,
I'll die.
This is what it's like to get head from a 14-year-old girl.
Time he came early.
For the rest of my life.
Times I came a lot.
You won't.
I might be able to look back and always.
Trust me.
I can recall what it was like to get head from a 14-year-old girl.
How can you do this?
Remember?
I won't need to molest little girls when I'm 80.
I'm prepared to give you everything.
I can just think back.
Remember it all.
Everything I have to give.
To getting head from... what's her name? Back in high school.
I think I'm glad to have forgotten some things.
So, let me get this straight.
Some things are better left forgotten.
You want me to kiss you, not to make a habit of it or anything of that nature, but simply for the experience of it all.
Right. Like buying a Beatles album.
A Beatles album.
Right.
How is kissing me in any way, shape, or form like buying a Beatles album?
It's just one of those things everyone would like to have, you know, to own as part of their collection.
I see.
I think we used to dance to it.
I don't want to think about it.
I think my mother used to play it when I was a child.
I said no.
Yes. Yes. That's right. I remember sitting on the floor playing with toys. Toy cars, I think.
No.
Yes, toy cars on the floor while that song played and my mother cooked.
I don't want to hear about it.
Oh, I was so happy then.
No.
So happy without even knowing it.
How could she remember that? How could she remember that and not me?
It seems to work backwards. It seems the short-term memories are the first to go.
But I'm not short-term. I mean, I'm her fucking son, for Christ's sake. I'm a human life of her own goddamn blood. That is the most long-term thing I can think of.
I'm sorry.
Let it all wash away. All of it. I don't care. The pure, the sweet, the pretty, all of it.
You'll forget.
I won't forget.
We all forget.
No.
Or at least, I suppose, that's the hope.
She used to joke that she'd rather die than grow old like this.
Perhaps it wasn't a joke.
You can't do that. You can't walk away like that. You've got a responsibility to me.
I have nothing.
And if I come this way again, you won't
look,
know my name.
The only thing I can say, the only thing I think could offer you comfort of any kind.
It just won't be the same.
Can't we just go back?
Love me now while you still can.
Can't we just leave this place? Hop in your car, drive to Mexico, open a bar, have a family.
I'm sorry.
Things you need to say before the fog grows thin.
Is that though she no longer remembers you,
it all will melt away.
She would not have been the person she is, would not have lived the life she did without you.
Believe me, dear, without you near, I just won't be the same.
Mom?
Yes, Jim.
The business is called fishing, not catching. Sometimes a boat and crew can do everything right, and still there is little or nothing to get a share of. Remember, the food and fuel supplies come out first, and days of fruitless cruising just eat into whatever you may have caught. True, there are great times, lots of fish and plenty money for all, but not as often as fishermen brag to each other, and fewer are living that way. But it's beautiful at sea. Even bad weather packs a wallop of awe and grandeur. Elemental nature at large, your daily life becomes attuned with it, and with not fighting with it, and keeping everything working, and staying at watch, and getting along with the others on board, and long hours for those better paydays. Sometimes you get a big check. Sometimes you don't get any at all. Not a life for everyone, but for those suited to it, it's a life rich, though perilous. It's very sweet, living so close to the bone. Even, perhaps, addictive.
Meanwhile, at the Safeway.
Debbie, aisle three. Debbie, aisle three.
Mr. Reynolds, customer service. Mr. Reynolds, customer service.
What the hell? Is there something so important?
Mr. Reynolds, this child was left here by his father, and he thinks his mom is at the downtown store, not this store.
What's that have to do with me? I have to take him?
No one else here is permitted. You are the manager on duty.
I'm busy. What about the cops?
Well, I called the police. They said we have to deal with it. It's not a crime. It's a mistake. They said they're too busy.
For Christ's sake. How old is this kid? How long has he been sleeping there?
He says he's six.
No choice but to take a car ride. Going downtown. Oh, yeah. On the way there, a car passes by a man and his wife on the street. There are some people across the street. A man and a woman. He's got a big beer belly, tight jeans. She's got some hair. But this wasn't that Burnside and Brand.
Honey, where are we?
We're not lost.
Well, where the fuck are we?
Don't worry, we're not lost. We ain't lost.
Meanwhile, at the new Safeway downtown, Mom is indeed shopping.
No, let me see. I got grapes, bananas, toilet paper. I still need to get hamburgers. What else? Lorraine! Hi, Lorraine! Oh, hi, hon. What are you doing here? I didn't see you coming down the aisle. I'm so distracted these days.
You have too much on your mind, woman.
Oh, I know. And add to all the things I have to do today. My ex was supposed to drop my son off here, but the car broke down, so I'm an hour late, and I don't know if I missed him or what.
And can't you call him?
My phone got cut off last week. Let me tell you, I've had quite a time lately. It's about all I can do to come shopping. I don't know how I'm going to pay for all these groceries.
Did you see those people outside?
Oh, those people in the silly costumes? I didn't have time to pay attention. What are they doing anyway? Giving something away? I guess I could have asked. I could use the free groceries. I don't care what it is, I'll take it.
Oh, well, they gave me this leaflet. They got a big head of lettuce with arms and legs.
Outside, they were giving something away. Knowledge.
G-Foods kill! G-Foods kill!
Sir, you know the foods that you put in your cart are genetically modified. They haven't been tested. You don't know what you're putting in your butt, ma'am, do you know about Frankenfood? Ma'am, excuse me, ma'am, do you know about Frankenfoods? The tomatoes in the supermarket aren't actually... Ma'am, do you know about Frankenfoods? That tomatoes in this supermarket aren't actually tomatoes? Sir, do you know what you are eating when you buy food here? Because it isn't on the label.
Inside, one shopper's stomach. G Foods are indeed wreaking havoc.
Oh yeah, this is awesome. Eating away at the stomach climbing.
Isn't it just great to be poison?
There's some more food coming. Check it out. I hope it's good.
Cookies? What am I gonna do with cookies? Bring some battery acid, man. Give me a challenge. Come on. Bring it on.
13 years later, the results of that food are being discovered in a doctor's office at the Planned Parenthood Clinic.
It's just a whole lot worse than with my last baby. My stomach hurts really bad almost all the time.
Well, the tests look good, so there's nothing wrong with the baby.
Can you give me something that will make it stop hurting, like some Vicodin?
Vicodin. I can give you some Tylenol. That's about it.
No, that won't work. I've been taking Tylenol for 2 weeks. It's just not enough. Don't you have anything stronger? Is that all you've got?
Oh, no. We've got more.
Who is it?
It's me. Hello, dear.
Afternoon, beautiful. Pleasure to see you again, my darling. Where are the kids?
Oh, mother's watching them. I thought they deserved a day off. They've been so good about coming to see you all this time.
Well, it's too bad they couldn't come, but I understand. Besides, we haven't had a chance to be alone in so long. Come here, hot stuff.
Oh, Roger.
We haven't had a good cuddle in a long time.
Stop it.
There's room for two in this bed.
For heaven's sakes, we're in a hospital. And may I remind you, you're very sick, man.
You can say that again, baby.
Roger, that's quite enough. You know what I mean. Now you lay back down this instant and rest. I'll go get your medicine. Now where is it? Oh, a brand new bottle. Can you give me a hand here?
I'm kind of enjoying watching you struggle with it. Keep going, keep going.
Roger, please stop it.
You're awfully cute when you're frustrated.
Could you get your mind out of the gutter and put it on your health for a change?
Being in this place, what else would it be on?
You are so stubborn. It's no wonder your condition hasn't improved. Ah, there, finally. How do I look presenting you with your medication?
Quite frankly, dear, you're much more becoming without it.
Always the silver-tongued devil. Open wide.
I can't.
And why not?
Didn't they tell you? I've developed intermittent full-body paralysis. And I just happen to be experiencing a severe episode right this minute. Sorry.
Doesn't seem to have affected your cheek too much. I'll just administer it for you.
Well, you'll have to do it mouth-to-mouth then. Come here.
I'll just stop it. Stop this instant. Let me go. Let me go. What is wrong with you?
There's nothing wrong with me, honey.
Yes, there is.
I know you don't want to hear this, but I feel fine. I've always felt fine. I frankly have never understood what I'm doing here.
You've got a mental illness, Roger. You're off your rocker. Mad as a hatter. Crazy as a loon. Everyone's trying to help you. Me, the children, the doctors, the nurses. Yet you keep resisting fighting us at every turn. Why?
Did you ever consider the possibility that perhaps there might be something wrong with all of you?
Oh, that's the funniest thing you've said in a long time. The funniest, and yet the saddest at the same time.
Excuse us. May we come in? Hello, Mrs. Alderson.
Well, if it isn't Dr. Cackle and Nurse Snide.
Good afternoon, Roger. You're in high spirits, as always.
How's our favorite nutcase today?
Cuckoo is a clock, Doc. Bong. Cuckoo, cuckoo. Bong. Cuckoo. Bong.
Yes, cuckoo, yes, I cuckoo. See. Nurse, will you help the patient unwind, please? Mrs. Alderson, may I have a word with you?
Certainly, Doctor.
How does your husband's condition seem to you today, Mrs. Alderson?
Well, unfortunately, I'd have to say it's as bad, if not worse than ever, Doctor.
Mm-hmm. And what is his opinion? Did he tell you?
He said there was nothing wrong with him. And then he asked me if I thought that maybe something might be wrong with all of us. Do you believe that, Doctor?
Unfortunately, Mrs. Alderson, delusion and paranoia are common complications with this particular malady. Did he tell you that he's refusing to take his medication?
No, but I wondered why the bottle wasn't opened. How long has it been?
A full week. Any progress we may have made with him before has now gone completely out the window. We're back to square one, or, more precisely, square negative one.
Is it that bad, Doctor?
Oh, yes, Mrs. Alderson, I'm afraid it is. It pains me to say this, but unless we take drastic measures, your husband is likely to slip irretrievably beyond reach.
I'm sorry to hear you say that, Doctor, but honestly, I would have been surprised if you hadn't. I don't have any delusions. My husband is ill, and we must do something, anything to help him.
Whether he wants our help or not?
Yes, whether he wants our help or not.
Are you all right, Mrs. Alderson?
Yes, actually, yes. I feel as if a burden has been lifted from my shoulders.
Good, good. Most people usually do in these situations. Well, now comes the hard part. We must break the news to your husband. Come. Come along.
That's very funny, Mr. Alderson.
Oh, you're too kind.
Hello again, boys and girls. How are we doing?
We are doing just fine, Doc.
Wonderful, wonderful. Nurse, prepare the sedative.
Sedative? Am I too loud for the neighbors, Doc?
Oh, of course not, Mr. Alderson. On the contrary, you are a model of exemplary behavior. Your tendency to defy doctor's orders notwithstanding, of course. Unfortunately, this tendency, if allowed to continue, will prove detrimental to your mental health, and therefore, with your wife's blessing, we are going to begin a far more severe treatment regimen for your illness.
Oh, come on, Doc. Am I really that sick?
Absolutely, Mr. Alderson. Your cavalier attitude only provides further confirmation of my diagnosis. I've never lost anyone in your condition to complete madness, and I'm not about to let you slip away from me. After extensive discussions with my colleagues, I have determined that an intensive round of electroshock therapy is in order.
What? That's crazy. You're crazy.
How dare you say that one of the foremost experts on adult dementia in this country is crazy?
With the greatest of ease. And you know what else I have to say to his pompous assness?
That's it!
Roger, don't do this!
Prepare the syringe, nurse.
Ready, doctor.
He's only trying to help you, honey.
I don't need his help. Get out of my way!
Stop him!
You're all insane!
Stop him!
Hold him still!
I've got him.
Stop it!
Give him...
I got him.
Give him the shot.
Hey!
Give him the shot.
I got it.
What's wrong with...
I'm sorry, Mrs. Alderson. I'm sorry. Nurse, have Mr. Alderson taken downstairs for his first... Jolt, I'll attend to his wife.
Yes, doctor.
Nurse? Good afternoon. How are you?
I'm just fine, Mr. Finley, and how are you?
Well, not too shabby. Say, what was all that ruckus in 14 just now?
We had to forcibly subdue a patient in there. Occupational hazard, you know.
Is she some kind of crank addict or something?
Oh, no. Much worse.
Really? What was wrong with him?
He was happy.
Happy, huh?
I'm afraid so.
That poor son of a bitch.
Between this fish and this boat in your can on the shelf lie many others. The packers, whose purpose seems to be to offer as little as possible for fish off the boat. Some fishermen resort to selling their tuna at the dockside for $2 a pound or so, and fresh tuna is nothing like that can. It is a spectacular treat, and stars on many a sushi table sliced thin and served with ginger and wasabi. Grilled albacore is costly at a restaurant and well worth the experience. But most boats sell to the packers, harvesting being work enough. Between them and your can are shippers, processors, brokers, warehousers, corporations, laborers, clerks, accountants, secretarial pools, middle managers in thick layers, ad firms, art departments, license bureaus, inspection officers, grocery wholesalers, distributors, more managers, the stock boy, and the checkout girl.
Do you want to rest?
Why are you speaking? I didn't mean that you had to speak.
We haven't spoken physically to each other for several weeks. I guess I'm suddenly a little nostalgic for English.
I do miss spoken language. Telepathy is much faster, it's true, and we don't have to be so close to each other, but sometimes I enjoy talking the old way. I enjoy the sound of your voice, Vestina.
You're cold, aren't you? I don't know what else I can do. I have Teresa's device set to warm us. But if I enlarge the radius of its heat, the snow will melt and we'll have a harder time walking. And we'll be wet. And we must hurry. The firestorm is getting worse. If we want to reach the mountains and the safety of the caves, we must continue without stopping for at least 2 or 3 days.
They seem to be closer today. I'm always cold now. I try to remember the desert. Do you remember the heat? Long ago when you were a baby, do you remember?
She's tired, her body, her head. She's older now. She wants a place to rest. She knows that we can't stay here. Someday you'll know how it feels.
Yes.
You'll be as old as Teresa when your baby's grown up. You'll understand.
The way back is lost. The one obsession.
Can you see them yet?
I think so. Through the snow wind. Through the drifts. I know we are near, though. If we stay too long, you'll get colder.
You're so distracted today, Festina. What's going on? I can feel that something has changed, but I'm not sure if I can describe it. You've noticed it too, haven't you?
Well, for the last few years, I've been sensing a conversion of sorts in the universe. Not only the planet, you know, but beyond us. That's why patterns around us seem so unfamiliar, and the days have been so inconsistent.
I've noticed little things, like, as you say, the way days begin and end, but mostly I've noticed that you have changed.
I have changed, it's true, but the universe, Dorna, has begun to contract. For your life, for all of history, the universe, since its inception, has expanded. Now it is contracting, collapsing. Perhaps you've noticed that your memory of the past, during the last 2 years especially, has begun to fade.
I've been having trouble remembering, that's right. I thought to blame my age. I must be old now. In years, we stopped counting and we stopped measuring time.
I've begun to remember only the future, and not the past, Dorna. Our universe is shrinking, and the future is the only memory we will have soon. I can barely remember Teresa, and I'm not sure...
Justina, I've been trying to keep them in my memory. I've been trying to keep them close. I need the anchoring thoughts of both of them. They made you, and they taught me how to live when the cataclysm was new, but every now and then...
What?
I've heard a voice. I think I've heard Teresa...
And in that unanimous night,
time slowed, in light pulsing through ash, light of which the coat was made, light of their brick houses, in matter's choreography of light, time slowed, then reversed until memory held her,
able to go neither forward nor back.
I've heard other voices too.
Yes, I've sensed your confusion in our thoughts. It's the voice of my child.
Your...
I will give birth to a child soon, Dorna.
When? How? Have you been experimenting? You took some of my... Was that it? Were you combining a baby the way that Teresa showed you?
No. Well, partly. But the child will be hosted by a collective of contributors.
Is it a girl? Your child?
It has no need of sex, Dorna. Its adaptation is for thought and survival, not procreation. We can do that, as you know, without sex. It is named Brower, after Chestina's brother.
Will you be its mother?
I find you in my dreams. You live there.
In a way. But not the way that you are my mother. It contacts me. Listen.
Who is that with you? Is that your birth mother?
Yes. Yes, it is Dorna, my mother. Speak to her.
I am. In the tradition of your ancestors, your grandchild, Dorna, you are to be praised for delivering Vestina to us and for sheltering her to our metanoia. You two are brave to have survived a great evolution and to have suffered the extremes. You will be greatly remembered someday through the writings when we discover a new language and begin to record a past we can no longer remember. I am the first chronicler of our age in a language of thought. I've studied the ancient spoken languages, and that is how I've been able to transcribe much of what Vestina has told me. Press on, Dorna. Your work is not quite finished.
Is he gone?
He stopped projecting across time, but he's in the future with them. whose thoughts and memories I also share.
Then?
There are others. A small group of us in a collective mother that share thoughts and ideas. As I began to remember only the future, my mind was open to their thoughts. We, you and I, have been guided by a shared thought that will bring all of us to a meeting place in the Great Divide, deep within the mountains, in, it seems, 2 moon cycles.
You're a mystic, Festina. It's true. The mystics exist.
We have come to exist. We have adapted. After all, Mother, that is the story of humans. We've adapted to all the conditions set forth by the planet and by ourselves. We even adapted to survive near destruction, near extinction. Indeed, I've known no other life. We are sometimes victims of our own willingness to adapt, but the race continues because of that desire.
It's the second time today you've called me Mother. You seem to be filled with nostalgia, Festina. What else about the future? What else do you remember?
There will be a great reckoning, Dorna. Bands of surviving purists will try to harvest memories of the living and kill anyone who tries to look toward the future. They will pursue the mystics, too. But when we join, they will never find us. It is imperative that we keep moving.
More, tell me more. You're anticipating.
Our world will shrink to near collapse, and we will revisit the density of atoms that started this universe. Can you see? Those of us left on this planet, soon after my child is full grown, will recombine as if we are journeying through a Venturi channel. Cycles will be accelerated. We will find a purity of shared thought. As the world recombines, the isolation of individuality will disappear. That is much later, though. My child will be one of 20 who collects the living in their spirits so that analytical thought itself will survive.
And the purists, do they find us?
No, we hope not. They are very close to us now. But they will search in vain for the mystics until the weather extremes obliterate them. Even though the future can be altered, and the memory of it too, I feel sure we will be safe.
Festina?
Yes, I knew you would ask this question eventually. I tried to keep it away from you.
Why don't I remember much about the future? I'm dying, aren't I?
Not yet, Dorna, my mother. We will reach the caves. The chant will guide us. I will make a home in the mountains for you. It will be comfortable and warm in a temperate oasis. Some of the mystics will arrive. It is your guiding spirit that will tutor the mystics. You, with the spirits of Teresa and Chastina in you. Not as memories, but as energy, who will lead the mystics to revelation.
I don't understand.
Teresa did it. She managed a way for the remaining energies of Chastina and herself to be housed in you. In the religious myths of old, they might say that you, a live person, has become a chalice for the spirits of yourself, Chastina, and Teresa. The child will start to grow in me. You will be nurtured and cared for with good food to eat. Before you fade, they will bring the artifact.
It exists?
Yes. It will be reactivated so that we may begin the process of documentation. You will spend your days poring over and documenting the past for us.
How will I die?
It is a disease of the body, Dorna. Not the mind. You will not be in pain. We will hold that away from you. You will feel a warm, sweet, sensual environment that we create.
Now that I know it's disappearing, the past is like a mist that I want to keep from evaporating. I'm afraid of a future that I can't relate to a previous event. I'm afraid that in a future without history, I'll make mistakes I've made before. Afraid not to remember, afraid to relive. I can't remember the artifact. Can't remember the artifact. I know the word. I remember the word. Is there comfort in the future?
We are in the mouth of a funnel. Previous responses to stimuli won't apply, Mother. The process of collapse and collection is neither mystical nor spiritual. We will attach mysticism to it, apparently, but in truth, beginning and ending will coexist. We have no need of comfort in the world. This one will exist without need of matter. No.
sounds depressing. We have no need of reaction. Energy is changing form. In some future far beyond my understanding, all of the universe will be a kind of nondescript particle that will change again, and perhaps, as though any being could know, expand into a bright and feeling world where planets thrive and beings procreate and are nurtured, soothed by their environments, until they find the purity of thought and the reality of structure. I've enjoyed our time together, Festina. Festina Lente. I would have wished to share the end of my life with no other.
You are noble, Dorna. I am proud that you chose me as your child. None of this future that I've described will happen, though, if we don't find food in the next 2 or 3 days. The spirits you carry will not be safe until we reach the caves. Purists have been circling around us all day, have managed to keep them from us, to cover us from them, but we must keep moving. The snows will get worse, too. We must get you to safety.
Okay. Festina. Festina Lente.
Yes.
Tell me about the artifact. I can't remember the story. I need to remember.
In a city, near the end of things, all the remaining humans in that city made a memory keepsake. They knew they were all going to die. No one was being born. Everyone was sick in some way. There was nothing left for them but distractions and extinction. They made a large board of about 10 feet high and 10 feet wide, full of micro-psychological receptors.
Mugu Mushu. Without self, without center. Thrown up in the sky by wind. The way back is lost. The one obsession. The worst is over. The worst is yet to come.
Get our can on the shelf, any time of the year, rain or shine, making that noise that draws cats and summons forth the mayo or the lettuce or what have you. I like mine on toast with a little cheese.
Thank you for listening to the Sudden Radio Project. Contributors in tonight's program were Sean Miller,
Lou Magnetti,
Russell Dodge,
Andrew Stelzer,
Angela Morris,
Todd Greblow,
Ron Burge,
Deborah Perry,
Jane Lancaster,
Emily Young,
Marguerite Scott,
Lisa Hamid,
John Severn,
Stacy Dillon,
Jeff Woods,
Shirley Ugest,
Kimberly Howard,
Daniel Flessis,
Ruben Nissenfeld,
Heather Andrews,
Andrew Pennium. Be sure to listen to Radio Theater every Monday night here on KBOO at 11 p.m.
The next broadcast of the Sudden Radio Project will be December 29th.
Thank you for listening.
Stay tuned for the Tiki Cha Cha Club.
Pay attention, it's Joe time. It's Joe time.
In the tiki 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 room, in the tiki 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 room,
all the birds sing birds and the flowers croon.
In the tiki 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 room.
Welcome to our tropical hideaway, you lucky people, you. If we weren't in the show starting right away, we'd think the audience too.
All together in the tiki 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 room, in the tiki 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 room.
All the birds sing words and the flowers croon.
In the tiki 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 room.
Bird of paradise is an elegant bird. It likes to be seen and it loves to be heard. Most little birdies will fly away, but the tiki room birds are here every day.
In the tiki 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 room, in the tiki 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 room,
all the birds sing words and the flowers croon.
In the tiki 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 room,
a little louder.
In the tiki 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 room, all the birds sing words and the flowers croon. In the tiki 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 room.
Busy, busy, busy.